Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
I want to talk this morning about remembering the goodness of God as we talk about Thanksgiving and what is involved in that holiday. Remembering the goodness of God. How many of you, just to ask a question, have ever helped someone in a big way? I mean a really big way. And then they gave little or even no thanks in return to you. Has that ever happened to you before? Yeah, some of you have. How did you feel? What did that do to you? You know, maybe it made you feel like, well, see if I help them again. Huh? I don't know if it did that to you. Or you probably weren't jumping up and down, oh, wait, I can't wait to help so-and-so again because they don't appreciate it, you know. And when we do nice things for other people or other people do nice things for us, it is good for appreciation to be shown. And the same applies to God. When God does things for us, we need to be people that show appreciation. When God comes through, and then we just say, thanks, God, and walk away and not really treat it with any significance is kind of a slap in the face to him. Several years ago, I lost $100, and I just knew it was somewhere in our house. I went to the bank and came home, and I couldn't find it. We couldn't find it anywhere in our house. Several weeks later, I was at the church, and I was pulling a file out of my file cabinet, and I opened the file up, and there was the $100. What had happened is when I went to the bank and I got the $100 and it was in, you know, the envelope that has the cash, and I stuck it in my briefcase, there was a file in there, and the envelope slid into the file. And then later when I filed the file back at the church, that's where the money went. And so, and when I went to look for the money, I couldn't find it, had no idea where it was. And when I opened the file and I found it, I was so excited. I mean, I just had a glory fit right in my office, okay? I called my wife and I said, I found it, I found it, I found it. And she says, found what? I says, I found the $100. And there was a level of excitement there and gratitude. And this morning, as we prepare ourselves for the Thanksgiving holiday, I want us to realize, I want to talk about cultivating a heart of gratitude. Because our heart should be overflowing with gratitude, not just when we find $100. Although, how many of you would like to find $100 when you went home today? That'd be kind of nice. Yeah, find $100. But it's not just when things are going great. God wants us, our hearts, he wants us to be people of joy, of gratitude and praise, whether our circumstances are good, bad, or ugly. Okay? I'm going to say that again. Whether it's good, bad, or ugly, God wants us to be overflowing with praise, to bless the Lord at all times. Let his praise be continually in my mouth. Now, if you are new to Casper Faith this morning, if this is your first time and you're saying, wait a second, that guy up there is saying that even when my life is falling apart, I'm supposed to be joyful and thank God? What kind of Kool-Aid is he drinking? Okay? I want you to know something. I am not the one who said that. Okay? A man by the name of Paul said that. Paul was a Pharisee. He persecuted Christians. He hated Jesus. But then something happened. God got a hold of his life, and he became a Christ follower. He became one of the very ones that he used to persecute and throw in jail and kill. And now he is a Christ follower, and the priests and Pharisees are doing that to him. And this is what Paul wrote in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. He wrote this to a group of Christians. He said, rejoice always. Does that include when your car breaks down? Your water heater goes out? You know, when you lose your job? What does it say? Always. He says, rejoice always. It says, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Now, you might be thinking, what kind of Kool-Aid was Paul drinking? He's off his rocker. He's nuts. How do we have a joy that is always present? A heart of thanksgiving that says, no matter what happens in everything, I am giving thanks and praise and gratitude to God. How do we keep this joy flowing like an artesian well that just keeps coming up out of the water instead of a drippy faucet that just happens seldom? How do we cultivate hearts of joy? Now, before I share with you a couple of keys to do that, I want you to take a look in your bulletin, actually on the back of your bulletin this morning. Look at your sermon notes section, and I'm going to have you take a test today. It is a GQ test, okay? Not an IQ test, but a GQ test. Now, a GQ test is not a test to see how good the men of our church would look on the front cover of Gentleman's Quarterly, okay? We're not going to see how good you look. A GQ test stands for gratitude quotient. What is your gratitude quotient? How high is the level of thanksgiving and gratitude in our lives? Look at question number one, and I want you to mark these down this morning. Question number one, every day I thank God for specific blessings. Is it a yes or is it a no? Mark that down. Number two, every day I tell others about the goodness of God to me. Every day you tell someone. Number three, every day I pass on my blessings from God to others. Number four, every day I praise God even when things are going bad in my life. I praise Him even in the bad times. And number five, every day I realize that God is the giver of every blessing in my life. Okay, how did you do? How did you do? How many got at least one? Okay, that's good. If you didn't, boy, you're in trouble. How many got two? Three? Four? You got all five. Who got? Some of you got all five? That's awesome. You can go home then. You don't need this message. No, I'm kidding. How do we cultivate this sense of gratitude and thanksgiving in our lives? Open your Bible to Psalm chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9, it's kind of in the middle of your Bible. It's in the Old Testament, kind of in the middle of the Old Testament. And Psalm 9 was written by a guy named David. He is the same David who was a shepherd boy and killed the giant Goliath. And as we look at this psalm today, we need to realize something about it, that David is in a difficult situation. In just a moment, we're going to see, when we take a look at verse 3, we're going to see that David's enemies are trying to kill him. His life is threatened, and so it's not a real pleasant time. How many think it's pleasant if someone's trying to knock you off? Huh? Not a very pleasant time in your life. Not a very peaceful time, but despite these hardships, David is praising God and giving Him glory and thanks. And so Psalm 9 holds some keys for us on how do we cultivate a heart of thanksgiving and praise. Look at verse 1. I will praise You, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all Your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in You. I will sing praise to Your name, O Most High. Verse 3, because I have won the lottery. It doesn't say that, does it? No, it says, when my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at Your presence. He's talking about there's enemies, and notice, when they turn back, they haven't turned back. It hasn't happened yet. He's saying, when they do, then they'll fall. But right now, these enemies are coming after me. And so, David is in the middle of a crisis situation in his life, and yet he is still praising and blessing God with all of his heart. If you're taking notes this morning, number one, the first key to cultivating a heart of gratitude and praise is to remember that Jesus is the basis of joy. Jesus is the basis of joy. Look at verse 2. David said, I will be glad and rejoice in a new car, in a perfect life, in good health. No, he says, I will rejoice in you. I am rejoicing in God. God is the basis of joy. And then in verse 19, if you skip ahead, it says, Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know they are but men. These nations that are coming after David, these men who are trying to kill him, he's saying, God, you take care of them. But he's getting joy from God, not from answered prayer, not from a blessing, not from God coming through for him, but simply in God's presence. The Lord was David's source of joy. He was not consumed with his problems. He was not, here's the thing, when I focus on how difficult life is, I'm opening up a door for worry and fear and frustration and anger to come into my life. When we focus on the outward circumstances, we will lose joy and peace and hope. And so it is vital for us, our thoughts need to remain on Jesus. This past week when we were getting ready for family devotions around the table one night, my 9-year-old, Elise, said, I want to read from Psalm 118. She'd read it earlier that day, and she wanted to share it with the family. She says, I want to read that. So we kind of just took a sidetrack from what we were doing. I says, go ahead. And the very first verse caught my attention, and it lines up perfectly with what we're talking about this morning. Psalm 118, verse 1 says, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is bad. Is that what it says? No, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Did you catch that? God is good, and his love endures forever. You could say, write in your Bible, his love never quits. That's what that means. God's love never quits when your car breaks down, your water heater goes out, when your spouse leaves you, when one of your kids does something, makes a horrible decision, when you lose your job. Friends, God's love never quits on you. You may feel that his love has quit, but his love endures forever. His love endures forever. Over and over and over, it never stops. You can trust God. He is good. He is the source of our joy. Take a look at your notes. If I have joy, I have joy if I focus on the constancy of Christ, that he is good and his love endures forever. If I focus on the constancy of Christ, I'll have joy rather than the inconsistency of my condition. My condition, it goes up and it goes down. And if I'm basing my joy on my conditions, on my circumstances, then my joy will be going up and down. Life will be an emotional teeter-totter. But Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And so if I'm focusing on him, his enduring love, his goodness, then I can constantly have joy. I don't have to be depressed. I don't have to be worried. I don't have to be fearful. I can have this joy if my focus is on Christ. And that was the first key that David had in his life. That's how David cultivated a heart of joy, even when people were trying to kill him. Take a look at number 2 in your notes. The second thing we need to realize is that gratitude and praise are choices of our will. Gratitude and praise are choices of our will. Verse 1. Get your pencil ready. Look at this. It says, I will, underline that, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will, underline that, I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will, underline that, be glad and rejoice in you. I will, underline that, sing praise to your name, O Most High. Thanks be to God, because Christ always leads us to triumph. He always leads us to victory. He always leads us to a state championship. Friends, every day is a state championship winning day if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, because he's defeated hell, he's defeated sin, he's defeated death, he's defeated sickness, he's defeated pain, he's defeated suffering. You triumph in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the basis of joy, but we have to choose that. We have to keep our eyes upon him. We have to focus into that, and we lose it so easily. God, help me to keep my focus on him and his goodness and his love that endures forever. Because he is good all the time. All the time, God is good, and his love endures forever. Take a look in your notes. Praise is based upon what is going on inside of me, not what is going on around me. My level of praise is based upon what's going on inside of me, the awareness of God's goodness and love in my life, not my circumstances of what's happening around me. And that is the key, is to have this inner life that's rejoicing and finding the goodness of God and dwelling and meditating on the goodness of God at all times. That is how you and I cultivate joy in our lives. Now, David is going to list four aspects of God's goodness. We've titled this Remembering God's Goodness. I'm going to give you four aspects of God's goodness found in this psalm that we need to focus on to really help us. Number one, it's in your notes there, God's supernatural intervention. We need to remember God's supernatural intervention, his miracles. Verse 1 says, I will tell of all of your marvelous works, and that means miracles. Has God done some supernatural things in your life? Have you experienced any miracles? I know for me, when I was 7 years old, the Lord healed me of allergies when my family, we were not even Christ followers. And it was through that miraculous healing that we became Christ followers. So God supernaturally healed me there. He healed my son, who was born 1 month premature and spent the first week of his life in the neonatal intensive care unit. He could have died. When he breathed, his little heart caved in like an inch or two. I remember seeing him. It was so hard. And God healed my son. And he's here today. Played football on the state championship team. Thank you, God, for healing him. I can remember two instances where we lost control of our car. One of them, we did three 360s on an icy road. And the car straightened out. All I could say was, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And the car straightened out going the same direction down the road. And it was one of those country roads where it had like steep ditches, like, you know, about a 12-foot slanted drop. We would have been dead or at least severely injured. I can think of times when God has supernaturally protected our family. He has done miracles. And David says, God, I remember when you have done marvelous works for me. When you killed Goliath the giant, when you killed the lion and the bear when I was a shepherd boy. And David remembers supernatural intervention. Some of you could have tales today of supernatural intervention in your life. Remember that God can do the impossible. No matter how bad it is, when you think of the miracles of God, you realize that this situation is not too difficult for God to get me out of this. And so that's the first aspect of God's goodness to remember, is his supernatural intervention. Letter B, remember God's protection and deliverance. Look at verse 3. David said, when my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence, for you have maintained my right and my cause. Verse 9, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in a times of trouble. A refuge was a fortress or a tower that was built on a cliff or some other high, lofty place that was inaccessible, that was very difficult for an enemy to come and to reach you. And so this refuge was symbolic of a safe place. And that's what David is saying. God is a safe place to me. He will protect me. He will deliver me from my enemy. All of us have enemies. We have a spiritual enemy, the devil. The devil is after us. Now, some of you, this might be your first time, and you'd say, well, I don't believe in the devil. You know, that's fine if you don't want to believe in the devil. You don't have to. But you know why I believe in the devil? Because Jesus believed in the devil. It tells us in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, Jesus is talking to Simon Peter, and he says to Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. So Jesus believed the devil is real, but he went on to say, I have prayed for you. Jesus implied that his prayers would defeat the devil's plans for Peter. And friends, Jesus is still praying for his followers today. So no matter what the devil's plans are for you, Jesus can defeat those plans. Jesus gives us victory over our enemy, the devil. Sometimes your enemy is a person. Maybe it's your boss. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a classmate. Maybe you feel it's someone in your home. Maybe you feel it's someone in the church. Maybe you feel it's your neighbor. Friends, God will deliver and he will protect you. Jesus delivers us from our enemies. I have seen in my life, when I was a student in school, God turned things around with people that hated me, that were mean to me. I've seen it in my adult life. I've seen it at work. I've seen it everywhere. God can protect you and deliver you from human enemies. He will take care of you. He's been a fortress to me. He's been a safe place, a place that I could run to and find comfort and peace when I feel I'm being attacked on every side, and God can do that for you. Lay hold of that promise. There's some of you here today, you need to trust God to be your fortress because you're feel you're under attack from the devil or from a person, and you just feel that you're being overwhelmed. God is your fortress. Lay a hold of that promise in Psalm 9. David goes on to say there's another thing we need to remember, and this is found in verse 4, and that's God is in control. It says, for you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne judging in righteousness. Friends, God is sitting on his throne in heaven. No one has kicked him off the throne. God is the king of the universe, and he's on his throne. That means he's in charge. He's in control of every situation going on in your life. Even when it appears things have worked out for bad, God is bigger, and he can work it out for good. Some way, somehow, he can work things out for your welfare, for your benefit. He will maintain your cause. I've seen God do that in my life. God has worked all things together for good. And then the last thing in your notes that David talks about, the last aspect of God's goodness to remember, is to remember in God's abiding presence. That's found in verse 10. This is what he says, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. That word forsake there, it means to leave, to depart from, to let alone, to abandon, forsake, neglect, or be deserted. And friends, God says he will not forsake those who seek him. So you can trust him. He's in control of your life. And he does supernatural things that can bail you out of any jam, and he can deliver you from any enemy. Remember the goodness of God. Some of you, in your yearbooks in high school, someone wrote BFF. How many have those initials in your yearbook in high school? Yeah, it means best friends forever. When's the last time you talked to that person? 6 weeks ago? Probably not. 6 months? 6 years? 16 years. For those who graduated from high school a long time ago, maybe 60 years. I mean, you know, our friends in high school, oh, you're my best friend forever. We're going to be close forever. No, you're not. Very few of those relationships last. But here's the thing. When God said, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, that means 6 months, 6 weeks, 6 years, 16 years, 60 years, he will still be there for you. He is faithful. He abides. His presence never leaves. He is good, and his love endures. I can't hear you. I can't hear you forever. God's word is filled with promises of hope, of protection, of his presence. Hebrews 7:22 says he always lives to make intercession for us. Jesus is praying for you today. In Psalm 118, verse 6, it says, the Lord is on our side. Who is there against us? We have no reason to fear. Romans 8:31, it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And the answer is no one. But friends, this does not mean you and I can live any way we want. Because you see, you and I can walk away from God. And if we walk away from him, then we lose out on him. I'm going to wrap up with this verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 2. It says, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. God says, if you're looking for me, I'm here. You're going to find me. If you're not looking for me, then you're not going to find me. But here's the good news. God's ear is always ready to the voice that says, I need you. God will always respond to the person that reaches out to him.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.